Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, April 8th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets mixed this morning. May corn futures down 1.25 at 4:33. May soybeans unchanged at 11.85. May Chicago wheat down 3.25 at 5.64. May Kansas City wheat up 3.75 at 5.86. May spring wheat up 1.25 at 6.49 1/4. Let's start off with this broad-based commodity rally.
So the commodity sector posted its best week in 9 months. The Bloomberg Commodity Index gained 3.4% last week, its strongest performance since June 2023. The rally was led by sharp gains in coffee, silver, lean hogs, gold, and some energy markets. Grain prices, of course, have yet to join the party. Corn and soybean futures posted modest losses for the week, while SRW wheat futures posted a modest gain.
So you have a commodity rally, and it's not just one sector. It's energies, it's metals, it's softs, it's some of the livestock. The best performers last week, coffee was the best one, up 12.2%. Heating oil, I believe, was second best, up 6%. Gold was up almost 5%. Crude was up 4.5%. Hogs were up 3.1%. So you do have some enthusiasm for commodity markets among speculators, large money managers, whoever. It just hasn't happened in the grain markets. This is a chart of corn, soybeans, and SRW wheat combined on a weekly basis. And it was lower last week, these three contracts combined. And it's trended lower really since the peak in 2022, which followed the Russia-Ukraine invasion and all the buying that followed that. So will the grain markets join the party? I don't know. I think there's going to need to be some sort of catalyst, weather, demand, or otherwise. For the moment, this actually kind of sucks because what are you going to see? Like higher fuel prices, higher gas prices, but yet no increase in the value of the commodities that you produce. So for the moment, this broad commodity rally that leaves out the grains, kind of a bad deal. But I'd say that maybe it's a reason to be optimistic. I don't know if this Bloomberg commodity index that I track, if this were to break out above that 107 level, I think it may inspire some short covering, maybe even in the grain markets. That would be the optimistic view, at least.
Fund traders have increased their net short position in the corn market. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending April 2nd, the funds were net sellers of 5,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 250,000 contracts remains historically large. Funds were net sellers of 4,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 127,000 contracts of soybeans is also historically large. And finally, the funds were net buyers of 1,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
So speaking of optimism, there is no optimism among large money managers when it comes to the grain markets. They're very much pessimistic. At the end of the month, we have first notice day for May grain futures. It's April 30th. Ahead of that time, anybody with basis contracts, again, is going to be forced to price or roll them during those last few days of April. Back in late February, when this was going on with March basis contracts, that period coincided with a major low in the corn market. That was when the corn market bottomed, was on the basis contract deal. So we've got that coming up. So why would the funds cover their shorts and grains right now? I don't know. They're not. There's not a good reason. There needs to be a catalyst. Weather, planting delays could do it. Probably more likely some sort of dry spell in June, July, whatever. They just don't have a reason right now.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Speaking of the funds, Joe, can you tell me about this recent video you put together?
If you're marketing soybeans this year, I think this is information that you absolutely need to be aware of. The funds in soybeans, what do the funds do in soybeans every year? What don't they do every year? In what month are the funds most likely to buy the soybean market or be long the soybean market? I had a PDF download where I had, I think, three or four charts. I think it was like four charts telling you kind of what happens in soybeans year in and year out with the funds, which coincides largely with price action. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel it any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. If you sign up this morning, I will blast you over a copy of this morning's email, which includes that soybean video. I know a lot of you guys are busy. I know field work's starting. I can tell from my phone line that things are just getting busy out there. You can do this on your phone, and it's actually quicker to do on your phone if you've got like Apple Pay or Google Pay set up. And even with your credit card, it's a piece of cake. So if you're in the truck or you're in the tractor this morning, still sign up, and we'll send you everything over.
Forthcoming U.S. rainfall will again favor eastern areas of the Corn Belt. Later this week, parts of eastern Missouri, eastern Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio will see additional rainfall. The western Corn Belt will stay mostly dry over the next 5 days. The 10-day Euro model introduces rainfall to North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and parts of Minnesota and Iowa.
So we talked about this trend, east versus west, and how the east has been wetter, the western Corn Belt has been drier. These rains that they're talking about, the Euro model is indicating in the 5 to 10 day period, look fairly substantial for North Dakota in particular, South Dakota, a little bit of Minnesota, a little bit of Nebraska. Iowa still kind of left mostly dry, barring maybe that northwest corner. So could this be a shift in the pattern? I don't know. You look at the drought monitor in Iowa in particular, as far as major corn growing areas, is where they really need the rain. And it just doesn't look like it's coming over the next 10 days.
The Biden administration will release a preliminary SAF subsidy model next month. The model, which is expected to be more restrictive for the ethanol industry than originally anticipated, could be available by May 15th. The model will require corn used for SAF to be grown using one of three sustainable ag practices. These methods include efficient tilling, cover crops, and efficient fertilizer application. The ethanol industry was expecting a wider range of options for ethanol to qualify for subsidies. The model, however, could be expanded later this year to incorporate more options.
This is kind of a non-update. There's nothing new in this story. They could be announcing like GREET model info any day now. It could be any day. It could be May 15th. It could be July. I don't know. In any case, guys, I'm going to plug the premium stuff again. I'm going to blast out a video at noon, or a email rather, at noon Central Time today. And I'm going to include every video that we've done on the crush expansion, sustainable aviation fuel, carbon credits, all of that stuff. Paul Niefer did one about acting now to benefit from sustainable aviation fuel. Pete was on last week. We did carbon, that sort of thing. The video with Mitchell Hora regarding carbon scoring was extremely popular. There are, I think, 10 or 11 other videos that are all going to be blasted out at noon Central Time today. I did this about a month ago, and I'm going to do it again because there's 3 or 4 additional videos. I'm really doing my best to stay on top of this situation because it's going to be a big, big deal potentially if everything falls into the right place for corn growers in particular. So make sure you sign up for the premium deal today, guys. Be on the email list at noon Central Time.
Argentina's Buenos Aires Grains Exchange has reduced its corn estimate. The exchange is forecasting the crop at 52 million tons, down almost 4% from its previous estimate and almost 8% from its initial projection. The reduction is attributed to an increase in leafhoppers, which carry a disease that hinders the development of corn. The Argentine corn crop's normal to excellent condition has declined by 8% due to the disease. About 11% of the crop has been harvested. Argentina's soybean crop, which is expected to reach 52.5 million tons, is nearly 2% harvested.
USDA has that number at 56. So this is actually pretty substantial in terms of the downward trajectory of the crop estimate. The market doesn't care. I mean, I'll tell you that. But how bad could this get? Beyond my pay grade, I guess, for the time being. But the market doesn't care. 4 million metric tons is fairly substantial, especially when some people are working with lower Brazilian production numbers, but just has not impacted the market at all.
U.S. job growth surged in March. The U.S. economy added 303,000 jobs last month, up from 270,000 in February, and well above the expectation of 200,000. Average hourly wages rose 4.1% year over year last month, the slowest growth since June 2021. An increase in the supply of workers has helped employers keep wages in check. Workforce participation increased to 62.7%, up from 62.5% in February, and its highest level since November. The markets are forecasting a 54% chance of a Fed rate cut in June and a 56% chance of 3 total rate cuts this year.
Those rate cut odds are falling just a little bit. They've declined minimally, not by a ton. 3.8% was the unemployment number, which is super low, like bottom of the barrel historically. The word that everybody was using for this jobs report was a blowout jobs report because it totally eclipsed all the expectations. This was actually a good news is good news situation. The stock market rallied on this, but I question how long that will be able to maintain itself if the idea that the rate cuts aren't happening persists and we get closer to that scenario. What did cattle do on Friday?
Oh gosh, it was another bloodbath of the day for the futures. Feeders closed an average of 496 lower. Live cattle closed an average of 308 lower. Cash cattle trade was lower last week. In the north, cattle traded at 187, which was $1 to $3 lower. In the south, cattle traded at 184, which was $1 to $2 lower than the previous week. Wholesale beef prices have been in decline for 2 weeks now. Choice box beef ended Friday at $297.17. That was down $9.55 for the week. And select box beef ended Friday at $294.70. That was down $8.73 for the week.
Outside markets pretty quiet on Monday. U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks off a little bit. Bonds are off. Gold's up 13 bucks. Crude oil is down 65 cents in the May WTI at 86.26. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.